السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. والذين يتوفون منكم ويذرون أزواجا وصية لأزواجهم متاعا إلى الحول غير إخراج، فإن خرجن فلا جناح عليكم فيما فعلن في أنفسهن من معروف، والله عزيز حكيم. وللمطلقات متاع بالمعروف حقا على المتقين، كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تعقلون. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ثم ما بعد. Once again everyone, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. والذين يتوفون منكم ويذرون أزواجا، those of you that have been taken away, meaning those of you that have died, وَيَذَرُونَ أَزْوَاجًا, and are going to leave behind wives, وَصِيَّةً لِأَزْوَاجِهِمْ مَتَاعًا إِلَى الْحَوْلِ غَيْرَ إِخْرَاجٍ. A counsel left, a will, a bequeath left by Allah for their spouses is that they are to be provided for an entire year, up to an entire year. Some people looked at this and said, well, this is, this ayah doesn't, it's cancelled out by the ayah before, which says 4 months and 10 days. And now it's saying what? An entire year. But the fact of the matter is, they're talking about two very different things. One ayah is saying she cannot get married again for how long? 4 months and 10 days. This ayah is saying, if her husband passed away, she should be able to live as she was living with him, without any change in her life circumstance, up to an entire year. Whether she wants to get remarried after 4 months and 10 days and move on, or stay in that house, etc., live as she was living, she has up until a year where she is to be treated as she was even before. So the family of the deceased must provide for her غَيْرَ إِخْرَاجٍ, without kicking her out, without expelling her. Now this is pretty interesting because this flipped the equation. One extreme would be, you were our family so long as he was alive. He's gone now. Get out of here. That's not allowed. You got to keep her for a year. The other extreme was, you are actually our family till death do you part. You cannot leave here. No. She decides whatever she wants to do after how long? 4 months and 10 days. But if she needs support, she can stay with you. And you are not allowed to, the family, the in-laws, whoever, they're not allowed to force her to leave up to a period of an entire year. فَإِنْ خَرَجْنَا, if on their own they were to leave, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ, then there's no harm on you. فِي مَا فَعَلْنَا فِي أَنفُسِهِنَّ مِن مَعْرُوفٍ, in whatever they do with themselves, in any dignified fashion. If they want to go and start working now, if they want to start a business, if they want to get remarried, whatever they decide to do, that's up to them, and there's no harm on you for what they do. وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ, and Allah is an ultimate authority, all-wise. وَلِلْمُطَلَّقَاتِ, this is the concluding comment on this entire passage of talaq, death, the spouse being left out. This is the concluding comment, and this is where I'm going to fill in some gaps that I didn't fill in before. وَلِلْمُطَلَّقَاتِ مَتَاعٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and for the women that have been divorced, they have provision, they have to be taken care of in dignified ways. This is actually summarizing everything that's been said before. First of all, if they've been divorced, they still have to be, there's still something, someone you can take back within 3 months. You can't be harmful towards them. If there is a child, you must pay for the feeding of the child. All those rights that were talked about over and over again, that's actually now summarized in this concluding ayah. For divorced women, there is utility, provision that has to be provided in dignified fashion. حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُتَّقِينَ, that is a binding obligation, a right of Allah on them, something that is absolutely their right, mandated upon all those who are fearful of Allah. حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُتَّقِينَ. This now, I wanted to balance the equation in the beginning when the first session I had on the subject of talaq, I told you about how open and how easy Allah Azza wa Jalla made nikah and how easy Allah made talaq and how both of those were open. Now, the thing is, when people hear that, they say, I don't think you should ever say that, because if you say that, then people are going to get divorced left and right, and it's going to be a circus outside, and anybody, the wife says that, my husband, the other day, I made dinner for him, and he didn't even say it's delicious, I want a divorce, etc., etc. People are going to go crazy and start divorcing left and right, and that's because of your lecture, Noman Ali Khan. Thanks a lot. Let me tell you something. when people are crazy, they don't need my help. Let me tell you something, okay? And the interesting thing in our societies is that we say that, you know, women, some women are just, they're emotional, they're out of control, you've just handed them the keys to craziness, and, you know, so because of those crazy cases, we should actually never talk about something Allah Himself or His Messenger talked about for everybody else. Is that logical? Does that make sense? By the way, Allah's law, I told you before, Allah's law and Allah's provisions, things that have been made halal, things that have been made haram, things that have been made mandatory, any of this can be taken advantage of by anybody. When you and I think that my speech can be misused, let me tell you, something much higher than my speech, the word of Allah, historically, has been grossly misused. The words of the Prophet ﷺ have been grossly misused. So who is little old me to think that what I say won't be misused? The problem is, on the one hand, you'll say, well, there are some crazy cases, somebody might, you know, might do this, and they shouldn't do it because they don't have the sense. You know, the idea that a woman shouldn't get divorced because she doesn't have the sense. By the way, a woman can't just walk out of a marriage, you know that, right? She can't just walk out of a marriage. It's actually a knot. Who has the knot of marriage in his hand? That's why she has to be provided for, taken care of, secured, don't hurt them, because they can't just do it. The decision was in the guy's hand. Allah handed that to the man. He's the one who can issue the talaq. She can't. She can ask for it, and then she has to get somebody to help. Historically, the way our societies developed, that became the qadi. Historically, that became the judge. So she can go to a judge, and the judge says, yes, I'm going to issue your divorce for you. She had to go to somebody. It wasn't arbitrary. This is an advantage, a disadvantage to women in the Sharia. It is, in fact, a disadvantage. No hiding it. For the man, clearly, he can pronounce it. I release you. I have the knot in my hand, I can release it. For the woman, there's first of all no mention here. There's no mention. There's no mutalliqat. There's only mutallaqat. Right? And in the cases of the Prophet ﷺ, when a woman says, I don't want to be with my husband, she didn't say, I pronounce divorce on him, because she couldn't. She came to the Prophet ﷺ, and what did the Prophet do? He calls the guy and says, divorce her. You see? Who had to do the divorce? The guy did. And if he's refusing to do it, then somebody has to supersede his authority. That has to be some kind of waliul amr. That has to be a judge, a qadi or something. But the thing is, you have to understand, Allah Azza wa Jalla's deen is universal. It goes beyond the scope of what we consider a clergy or a hierarchy. When these ayat were revealed, there were no qadi. It was only Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even then the ayat were coming in the plural. طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَىٰ جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Your communal responsibility. And that's why some of the early scholars understood this as the elders in the family, the elders of a village, decision makers, somebody of sense, somebody that can be relied on in the community. Of course, over time, that became the imams of our communities. And the judges in the Islamic civilization, they became that. But that doesn't mean until you find a qadi, nobody can do this for you. That's not in the Sharia. That's not in the law of Islam. Yeah, but she does need to go to somebody of reason. If a woman, for example, I've discussed this with my teacher, Dr. Akram, if a woman is being, you know, abused, or she wants a divorce, for whatever reason, she wants a divorce. She's unhappy, or she's not, you know, like the hadith I shared with you yesterday, you know, akrahul kufra fil Islam. If that's the case with her, and she wants a divorce, and her husband says, no, I don't want to divorce you. I don't want, and she's like, I'm going to fall into sin if this continues. I can't do this. Where am I going to go? Then I would have to find, I would say, well, where do you live? Let me see if I have, you know, a friend there, an imam, a scholar, somebody who you can go, and they might be able to help with the situation. And if nobody's helping with the situation, actually the position of Dr. Akram is, even if she went to the authorities, if she filed a case legally, it was good. That's legally, Sharia-wise valid, according to him. And I would second his position. If there's no wilaya of the Muslims, then whatever society you're living in, if the woman can't find protection from anybody else, there's no wali of her amr, then Allah does not leave her hanging. Then whatever authority she can use, she should use. Whatever right she can exercise, she should exercise. You know? But this is not for me to say, hey guys, I have officially opened the doors for talaq parties. Go ahead and talaq away. It's not what I'm saying. Allah Azza wa Jal meant for human beings to be in marriage. And marriage is an act of you know, it requires patience. Anybody who's married knows that. It requires patience. It requires forgiveness. It has good days and it has very bad days. You know, it's a struggle. Nobody stays, I mean, look at our parents who've been married for so many years, and sometimes you wonder, how did you do this? I see you guys talking for 20 minutes and I wouldn't have lasted 2 days. You guys lasted 50 years. How did you pull this off? You know, it does require a great deal of sabr. It does. Every marriage has tension. The marriages of the Prophet ﷺ had tension. If his marriages had tension, who are we? So that is going to happen. But even after all of that, the deen is merciful. The deen is saying that if keeping a marriage is going to make you less of a believer, it's going to make you violate some principle of Allah's deen. It's going to make you constantly ungrateful. It's going to make you lose your sabr. It's going to make you, you know, say bad things to somebody else. We should even speak nicely to all people. What to speak of our own spouses? You know? If you're not able to not be abusive with your tongue, not able to control your temper, every time you're ending up in a fight, counseling's not helping, therapy's not helping, and you've tried every avenue to make it work, because that islah is important. You have to try to seek help if you're having trouble. But if none of that is working, then Allah did not close that door, and He didn't condemn you for taking it. And for the women that have been put in that position, this is why. Because Allah didn't give them that authority on their own, they had to seek an outside aid to be able to be released. For that purpose, mata'un bil ma'roof, when they are issued a divorce, which wasn't their will, it was the guy's will, he wanted to divorce them, they should be taken care of in a dignified way. They should be compensated for. حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُتَّقِينَ. That is an obligation, a right on all muttaqeen. These ayat, I would argue, are probably the most forgotten ayat when it comes to the social life of Muslims. The most forgotten ayat. The teachings in these ayat are practically non-existent in our society today. They're just non-existent. You know? When I read ayat like, وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوَا لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا صُمًّا وَعُمْيَانًا, I remember these ayat. You know? Just the ethic of these ayat. If it is applied, so much peace would come into our societies. So much easier would it be for, you know, women to get remarried, for marriages to become happier themselves. You know? So many marriages break apart even though they're still married. The husband and wife are still married. They're married for 20 years, but they hate each other. They disrespect each other. They can't stand each other. They speak ill of each other every chance they get. And if they're not speaking ill of each other, they're thinking ill of each other. Where is لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً? You call that a marriage? You know? And they're staying married, but they put the children against each other. And the mother hates the child that likes the father too much. Or the father hates the child that likes the mother too much. What is this? This is a family. This is what you're supposed to do. You shouldn't even do this to family that's not, Muslims that are not your family. And this is the behavior within families. And when this is how miserable things get, then yes, Allah has left the door open. And they should be taken care of. كَذَٰلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. That is how Allah clarifies His miraculous signs to you, His revelations to you, so that you may think. And that's our final comment for the day. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Allah didn't just say, كَذَٰلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُطِيعُونَ. Allah clarified these things to you so you can follow. Here are all the rules, follow them. Nope. He said, I gave you all of this, I clarified these ayat to you, so you can think, ponder, try to understand. Meaning every time Allah gives you a rule, think about the real life situation and how this rule will help save lives. How this regulation is going to alleviate, you know, alleviate somebody's suffering. Think about this. This is the beauty of our religion. Allah doesn't just give us, here's what you do. He says, here's what you do, now think about this. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us people of aql, really, make us people of thought. And bring back these beautiful, beautiful teachings of our deen into our society. Alhamdulillah, the ayat of tashri' are now done. I'll give you a quick kind of a glimpse of what's coming in the rest of the surah. Some very interesting subject matters are coming. There are two parts of this surah that are very long. As far as one subject, and one subject is very, very long. This was one of them, talaq, right? One issue, and there's lots of ayat on one issue, talaq and the death of a spouse and all of it. Another, this is actually even bigger in volume than Surah Al-Talaq. This is even more comprehensive than Surah Talaq. Then the other issue that's going to come up, not immediately after, but a little bit after, is going to be the matter of finances. Money issues. And that's going to be actually from everything from spending in the path of Allah, charity. It's also going to deal with, that's the best thing you can do with your money, by the way, charity. What's the worst thing you can do with your money? Riba. So the first thing he's going to talk about is, here's the best thing you can do with your money. Then he's going to talk about, what's the worst thing you can do with your money? And elaborate that. Why is that the worst thing? And then he's going to say, well, what's the in-between thing you can do with your money? The best, the worst, and the acceptable. What's the acceptable? Business, loans, financial transactions, contractual agreements, you know, purchasing, buying, selling. That's going to be, what are the guidelines for that? And if you cover all, if you look at all three of them, it's all one issue, isn't it? It's just Quran's guidance on greed. Quran's guidance on finances, on the economy. How is it, how is a Muslim economy supposed to function? This is the, towards the end of Al-Baqarah, that's the most comprehensive place in the Quran on that subject. There's no place in the Quran more comprehensive than this one that deals with that subject conclusively, finally. And that's coming. But in between that, there's some of the most beautiful parts of the Quran. There's some of the most amazing stories in the Quran. We're going to see the story of Talut and Jalut, which is really epic. And that's what we're going to, I think we're going to start getting into that tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. There's the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, a part of the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And from there, we're going to learn a lot about, you know, Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah will give us Ayatul Kursi is coming. Ayatul Kursi, and through it, Ibrahim alayhi salam is coming. And I'll try to show you those interconnections too. But tomorrow, my job, before any of that, inshallah, is going to be just to show you how these regulations that we learned about, I'll even try to make you guys a handout. Just how things are organized. So you see how beautifully, how perfectly Allah's Quran is organized. So inshallah ta'ala, we'll take a look at that tomorrow. I'll conclude my day early today. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim. Wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. I'll stick around for questions if you guys want to ask, inshallah.